As a young believer, Tony Vuk discovered God's power in battling addiction.
One of the first things God did when we decided to give him control over our lives is that he took the desire for alcohol away. He reached out, and it was nothing that I could have done. I tried and failed. It was nothing Pam could do. It was nothing that anyone else could do. We knew God had heard our prayers, that he was involved in our life now. And so the desire of alcohol was just gone, and there was a peace that settled into our household that was we'd never experienced before.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 22nd. All this month, we're addressing some of the rubber meets the road practical life issues. This week, we'll hear about God's power to rebuild a marriage, even after the relationship has been destroyed by pornography. Here's Nancy to introduce the story.
Well, I'm so delighted to have with me in the studio today Tony and Pam Vuk, who are new friends. Pam, we had the privilege of meeting last year when I was on vacation with some friends of mine. I was with another couple, and we stopped for dinner at a restaurant. We were only there one time, and during the middle of our, actually before we had even placed our order, you came up to our table. You were working at the resort that has that restaurant, and you struck up a conversation with us. Tell us how you came to come up to our table and, from your perspective, how we happened to meet that day.
Well, Nancy, it was really funny. Normally, I'm not in the restaurant. That's not where I work. But for some reason, that evening, I decided just to walk through the dining room. And I saw this face, a familiar face, but I couldn't put a name with it. And then it dawned on me, it's Nancy Lee DeMoss. I think that's Nancy Lee DeMoss. And I was so excited because you have influenced my life quite a bit through your teachings. And so my son, Tyler, who is 20, works with me and went outside where we were doing our event. I said, Tyler, you have to come inside because I think Nancy Lee DeMoss is here visiting our property. And so we went into the restaurant and we were trying to think of a way that how I should come up and introduce myself or if it were really you. And I said, Tyler, I'm going to walk past her and I'm just going to say Nancy. And if she responds, I'll know that it's her. And we couldn't get the courage quite to, you know, up to do that. So I said, I'll tell you what, Tyler, you walk around the dining room and come up the steps and get a really good look at her and let me know if it's her.
Of course, I had no idea all this was going on.
Exactly. And so he came back and he said, 100% sure, Mom, it's Nancy Lee DeMoss. And it was so funny because we chuckle about it now because here he is 20 years old, this young man, and recognizing Nancy Lee DeMoss in our restaurant. So at that point, I decided to get up the courage to come and introduce myself to you.
And I'm so glad you did. That was one of the sweetest conversations. It was a highlight of our vacation, that conversation with you.
Thank you, Nancy.
You came up and introduced yourself and just started telling us about the impact of Revive Our Hearts and the ministry in your life and in your family.
Right. And at that point, you asked me, you know, how I got to know about Revive Our Hearts. And I had shared with you that my husband, 10 years into our marriage, had confessed to me that he was addicted to pornography. And that spurred in me to want to do everything that I could do possibly to help, well, myself as a woman, my daughters, we have three daughters, and the women, young women that were brought into my life to understand how we could dress more modestly and be more pure at heart to be able to help men like my husband that was addicted to pornography. And your material was so helpful. So I've used that, your material, in helping young women and moms in that area.
And you shared the miracle of grace that God had done in your and Tony's lives in bringing you to faith in Christ and in salvaging your marriage after this revelation of the pornography. And I invited you and Tony to come up to our ministry, actually down for you. We were
right
in northern Michigan, and our ministry is in southern Michigan, and asked if both of you would come and share with our staff, which you did in our chapel this morning, and then if you would come in together into the studio and share something of your story with our listeners, because it was so encouraging to me, and it has been to our staff, and I know will be to our listeners as well. So, Tony, thank you for joining Pam, and just for your openness in sharing where God has found you and Pam and the incredible work of His grace in your life, and thank you for being willing to come with Pam and share today.
You're welcome. I appreciate the invitation.
Tell us a little bit about, Tony, your background. I know it was very different from Pam's, mm-hmm. but you grew up in a large family, and tell us just a little bit about that home.
Yeah, I was raised in Bloomington, Indiana, and second to the youngest of seven kids in our family, and our home was very structured. For example, 6:30 every evening, we would sit down and have dinner together as a family every single evening. I mean, I can't remember a time where we had missed it.
Of course, that's almost unheard of today.
Yeah, it really is. And so, the daily routines of our household were the same. I mean, it's very predictable, very stable, very secure. We went to church every Sunday. Even though we went to church, God was never talked about at home. I totally missed the whole meaning of the gospel message. And so as a result of, going to church over and over and really not understanding the whole concept of God or salvation or what He actually did for me on the cross, church was meaningless. And, I didn't know God and didn't really care to know God by the time I became a teenager. I was a little resentful.
Tell us about your teenage years, because I know you, Pam has mentioned that there ended up being this addiction to pornography. Where did all that start?
Well, when I became a teenager, my parents were pretty much uninvolved in my life. I was left to make decisions and to figure out life on my own. And during the teenage years, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of, questions. And all the adults in my life felt like they were distant and unapproachable. And so I was literally left to figure things out on my own, without supervision, without guidance. And then also without the Lord in my life, It's just not real good ingredients for a teenager. And yeah. So it's not hard to figure out what kind of road I did choose for my life. I figured that as long as it brought me pleasure and made me happy, and if I wasn't hurting anybody, then why not be involved? And so at a young age, I got involved in the drinking and the partying and immoral lifestyle and the pornography, and all of those things became a big part of my life at a young age.
And so you're in this relatively stable family, but with another life that ended up sowing seeds of real destruction as you approached your adult life. And then Pam, you're growing up in a very different kind of home. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my home was everything, completely different than Tony's, where his home was very structure and very secure. My home was anything but that. I was raised one of five children. I was second to the youngest, and we were raised in a very small town in northern Michigan. That's where I grew up. My parents saw to it that we went to church every Sunday, but that was primarily my mom's doing. I was not raised in a Christian home. I knew God, but He was very distant in my life. My mom was a stay-at-home mom when us kids were younger, but as we got older, she decided to work away from the home. But my father's work took him away from our home during the week to where he would just come home on weekends. And both of my parents drank and would do that often as they would go out with their friends. But when my father would drink, especially liquor, he became very violent and very abusive. And several times as a young child, we witnessed my father abusing my mother. And I can remember at a young age laying in bed and being woken up by their fighting after they had been out with their friends and just cried, the fear and just being afraid that my dad was going to abuse my mother. And
and you actually saw that kind of thing take place?
Several times, more often than I would like to admit. We all saw that as young adults, and actually even as we got older, we would see my dad abuse my mother, and we would try to interfere or like to help my mom, but we were never allowed to. We were afraid of my dad. Mm-hmm. He was the type of person that you didn't want to make angry or disappoint. We were never really allowed to share our feelings or our thoughts, our opinions with our father. And especially if it differed from him, he always made us feel very small. He belittled us and just would get angry if our opinions were different than his. So being raised in that type of atmosphere, I grew up with a lot of fear and a lot of insecurity in my life. And that carried on into my adult life and just had a very negative effect on my life and the relationships I encountered later on in life.
So did you find yourself looking for love or for relationships that were different than what you'd experienced in your home?
I always tried to find my dad's love and approval. I think every child mm-hmm. wants that, especially between a father and a daughter in that type of relationship. And I can just remember growing up, and when my dad would come home on Friday evening, I would meet him at the door and want to take his boots off and unlace his boots and take his boots off. And he used to love when I would shave him. So that was always a big deal for me, to always lather up his face. And he would sit there as I would shave him. Or I can remember we had this old workshop out back, and in the winter months, my dad would go out there and putz, and he was a big fisherman, hunter. He liked to hunt, and so when he would work on his snowmobiles or clean, you know, the fish after ice fishing and stuff, I would just be always out there. Even though it was, like, really cold, mm-hmm. I just wanted to be by my dad's side, working with him and trying to gain that love and approval, but never being able to do that. So I'd been in several relationships prior to meeting Tony that were very hurtful. And I knew that when I met Tony, I was at that place in my life that I wanted to meet somebody that was going to love me and accept me for me, as somebody that I felt safe and secure and that I knew I could totally trust. Mm-hmm. And I was 19 when I met him. And for the first time in my life, I felt like he was that person that just loved and accepted me. And we dated for a little over a year. And
I understand that pretty early on, Tony, Pam was convinced that you were the one she was going to marry.
It kind of scared me. It was 2 weeks into our relationship, she looked at me and said, "You know what? You're the one I'm going to marry." How was I supposed to react?
How did you react? That scared you a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I had to step back and say, what did she just say? You know.
So it took you longer than 2 weeks?
Well, I was a type of person that, you know, I had to put her through the test. You know, I had to see how she was in different situations before I would ask her to marry me, and she passed the test.
So you needed 3 or 4 weeks at least.
Yeah, at least
that,
3 or 4 weeks.
Oh. Yeah, that just goes to show you how different our personalities are and our backgrounds. People get a chance to know me right away because of my personality, and Tony's a little more laid back and more reserved. And so I think it was quite a surprise when I sprung that one on him. I think I should have waited a little bit.
But you did marry.
What, we did.
About a year after you met?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had dated for a little over a year, and then we got married. I was just shy of 21, and Tony was 23. So our first year of marriage, we moved about a half hour south of where I was raised. But our first year of marriage, we bought our first home, bought a business, had our first baby, our first daughter, and 15 months later, we had our second daughter. So you can imagine not knowing the Lord, not having him in our lives, and all the responsibility and the stress of raising a family, that things weren't looking too promising for us.
So, Tony, how would you describe those early years of marriage? Lots of changes. What was the atmosphere like in your home during those days?
You know, early on in our marriage, my drinking and my irresponsibility became a big wedge in our marriage relationship. So there were some definite struggles that we were facing early on. And
how did that irresponsibility manifest itself?
I mean, I can remember, you know, Pam being home with our two little ones and being pregnant, you know, I would tell her I'd be home at a certain time, and get with my friends and be drinking and, you know, show up 3 hours later without having any kind of consideration or, you know, I was living for myself. Those kind of things were going on.
Which wasn't exactly, Pam, the kind of secure, stable, trustworthy environment you had hoped for after the home you grew up in.
Not at all. And I can remember thinking 2 years into our marriage, thinking I saw and witnessed what my mother went through with my father, and my mother stayed with my father. I was not going to live that kind of life. I didn't want that kind of life. And at that point, I had told Tony that I was, you know, going to leave him if things didn't change.
That was hard. That was hard for me. I think that was the first time that I realized how bad I was messing up. Not only, you know, messing up my life, but now I've got my wife involved and my kids and my family's future was being affected by my actions and my decisions and the way I was living. And that was very difficult for me. Pam had her bags packed, and she was ready to leave me. And the whole idea of divorce was very humbling for me. I didn't want to go there. And so I was kind of backed into this corner. I knew I had to change, yet I knew in my own strength, and I didn't know how to get there. I knew I needed help. And God, looking back, I mean, God uses destructive things to bring us to a place of repentance. And that's what was going on. There's a series of events that took place in our lives that brought us both to that place of saying, God, you know, take our lives and help us. Pam was pregnant for Danielle. It was our third child when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, accepting him as our Lord and our Savior.
And there wasn't any person involved or church service or any,
right.
any means that God used, or were you pretty much on your own there?
No, there were some people that were influential in that. Tony, he had two brothers that had given their lives to the Lord, and I watched their lifestyle, and they didn't drink, and they didn't party, and they weren't doing all the things that Tony and I were doing, but they had such a peace in their home and in their lives. And that struck me as being different. Like, how could they have such a peace? And those were things that I wanted desperately. So it was God in their lives that was giving them that peace. So that spoke volumes to me. That was a big influence for me.
Mm-hmm.
They made Christ believable.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did through their lives and their actions.
Mm-hmm. And even though we didn't understand what they had, we didn't understand the whole message of the cross. We didn't even know what born again meant. It was just a real honest, sincere prayer. God, help us. You know, we've messed up our lives. We know we need help. Help us. And we're sitting in our living room praying that. And God, in incredible ways, just got involved in our lives.
He heard that prayer.
He heard the prayer. And that was, he started revealing himself to us, breaking down, you know, our preconceived ideas of who he was. And we had total misconception. And I can remember, you know, prior to giving our lives to the Lord, knowing I had to quit drinking, and I quit for 2 weeks, yet every day desiring alcohol. And that desire was so strong in me to drink, and it was a battle. And one of the first things God did when we decided to give him control over our lives is that he took the desire for alcohol away. He reached out, and it was nothing that I could have done. I tried and failed. It was nothing Pam could do. It was nothing that anyone else could do. We knew God had heard our prayers, that he was involved in our life now. And so the desire of alcohol was just gone. And there was a peace that settled into our household that was we'd never experienced before. I can remember having a strong hunger and thirst, both Pam and I, for God's word, and to really find out who this God is that we were just introduced to, you know. And we immediately got involved in a church that taught the Word of God. And really, it was at that time when we started seeking God for, you know, not our purposes, his purposes and plan for our life, that we felt hope and we felt more secure in our relationship and where we were heading.
We're going to continue with this story on the next Revive Our Hearts, and there's a lot more to it. But let me just say, I know there are those listening today who've been hearing Pam and Tony's story, and maybe your life is in confusion. It's disoriented. It may be in your marriage. It may be in other relationships, in the workplace, in your own personal life. And I hope that you've heard carefully what Tony and Pam shared about coming to the place where they were really at the end of themselves, at the end of their rope. They couldn't fix life themselves, and so they looked up, and they turned their hearts toward Christ. And without any big theological terms or any deep theological understanding at that point, they just said, "Help, Lord. We need you, and we surrender our lives to you." And God is a God who hears that prayer. He hears the cry of the person who is desperate for him. And today, may be the day that God's just pricking your heart and revealing himself to you and calling and drawing you to himself. And I would just invite you to stop where you are, with or without your mate, and to say, "Lord, help. I need you. Come into my life. I surrender my life to you. Come and take these broken pieces and make out of my life what you intend for me to be." And God will hear that prayer if it's prayed from your heart. And today could be for you the first day of a fresh start, a new life. God will make you a new person, as he did with Tony and Pam Vuk. And if you've cried out to the Lord that way today, could I just ask you to go to reviveourhearts.com and send us an email or jot us a note and let us know that you have cried out to the Lord that way. And we would love to pray for you and to send you some materials that will help you take a next step in your walk with the Lord, because it is a walk, it's a journey, and we'd love to rejoice with you in what God has done in your life and to help you take that next step. So let us know. I've cried out to the Lord today. I've asked him to come into my life, and we'd like to connect with you. I hope you'll join us the next time on Revive Our Hearts as we hear the next chapter in the story, the ongoing story of God's grace and his dealing in the lives of Tony and Pam Vuk.
If today is the first day of a new life for you, as Nancy just described, we do want to hear from you. Again, the website is reviveourhearts.com. Click on Contact Us and let us know about your newfound faith. At no charge, we'd like to send you a booklet that describes what it means to walk with God day by day. Or call us at 1-800-569-5959, and we'll send you the free material. Again, it's 1-800-569-5959. We're able to offer these resources at no charge and provide the kind of program you've heard today because listeners just like you give to support us. When you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts, it will be multiplied in many homes and hearts across the country. And when you donate any amount, we'd like to say thanks by sending you one of Nancy's books, Choosing Forgiveness. She'll show you why forgiving others is so crucial. She'll show you how to have the power to forgive, even when it seems impossible. And she'll walk you through a process of being free from unforgiveness and bitterness. Ask for Choosing Forgiveness when you call with your gift of any size. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. And thanks so much. Now tomorrow, we'll continue the story of Tony and Pam Vuk. They had a new faith and a new freedom from alcohol, but there was another huge area of bondage that God would bring to light.
Tony came home and shared with me that he had been addicted to pornography for the first 10 years of our marriage. I was absolutely devastated because he was the type of person that I had become very vulnerable with, that I totally trusted and loved in. I can just remember thinking to myself, how could somebody say that they love you and then do something like this to you? And I think the thing that was so hurtful to me is that he kept it from me for 10 years. And so I felt very confused at that point in our life, thinking, honestly, I didn't know, I felt very betrayed. I didn't know if I would ever be able to really trust Tony again. Anything that he said to me, I was always questioning it and wondering if he was telling me the truth. So we worked really hard at trying to put the pieces of our marriage back together after hearing that, and we did make some progress, but it was very difficult.
I hope you can be here for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.